Hello, everyone. This is Joe Dagher, the host of the Business 901 podcast. With me today is Murali Cevatori, who is an information technology and software development subject matter expert, hands-on programmer, author, consultant, and trainer. Murali, I'd like to welcome to your podcast, and could you give me a brief introduction about yourself?
Sure, Joe. Thank you very much for having me on the podcast. I am Murali Cevatori. I had my qualifications are in industrial engineering and then a postgraduate diploma in computer methods and programming and master's in business administration, besides a diploma in electrical engineering. The first 15 years of my career has been in manufacturing, and for the past 25 years, I had been in software development, handling various assignments such as software development, data processing, training, operations, you name it, I have done it. I have also been in professional organizations such as Tata Consultancy Services, Satyam Computers, Metamore Global Solutions, and for the past 9 years, I had been offering my services as a freelance consultant in and around my place of residence, India. Of course, I had also executed consultancy assignments in USA also. In addition to consultancy assignments, I have developed software products mainly for the software development industry and then for manufacturing industry, the two, and construction industry too, where I had the functional expertise. For software development industry, I developed two tools. One is Estimator PAL that aids software project estimators in arriving at the estimates for the projects. Second, the tool is called PM PAL, Project Managers PAL. It aids the organization as well as the software project manager in efficiently managing the information. For the software project manager, it starts at estimation. The entire Estimator PAL project is embedded in PM PAL. Then it goes on to manage the work using the work breakdown structure module. It also allows him to manage the changes effectively, change management through change manager. It also helps software project manager in defect tracking and defect resolution management. From all this information, the organization can obtain a host of software metrics in effort metrics, schedule metrics, defect metrics, change metrics, and so on. And for the manufacturing industry, I developed MRP PAL that assists the organizations in materials requirements planning, inventory control, purchasing, warehouse management, and a host of reports that help them to properly plan production in the shops. These are the products I sell. I have clients in Singapore, in India, and in USA. And of course, I also offer training in software engineering, especially software estimation, software project management, software quality assurance, requirements management. When I have spare time, I have written a number of papers which are available as white papers from my own site, cevatori.com, and from a number of other sites. I have also written 3 books and contributed chapters to another 2 books edited by somebody else.
In the process of the 3 books there, they've been written kind of recently. I mean, you've come out with 3 books pretty quickly here.
Yeah, you know, while they came out quickly, that is one book in 2009 and two books in 2010. I have been writing them for a number of years, let us say from 2006 onwards. Was easy for me. That's how, you know, first book I completed in 2009 March, and started completing the other two books in 2009 April. The first book titled Software Estimation, Best Practices, Tools and Techniques, A Complete Guide for Software Project Estimators came in August 2009. And these two other books I completed in 2009 itself, by the end of 2009. And these two books came out in 2010, one in July and one in September. One book is titled Mastering Software Quality Assurance, Best Practices, Tools and Techniques for Software Developers. And the other book, Mastering Software Project Management, Best Practices, Tools and Techniques. This last book about project software project management, I have co-authored with Thomas M. Cagley Jr. of David Consulting.
Now, when I look at the books, they don't strike me as, you know, the casual reader, okay, that's going to look at them. You have a particular audience for them, don't you?
Yeah, yes, you are right. These are all for software development industry, and not for the beginning first level programmer. A programmer with 1 or 2 years experience may not be able to appreciate the content of these books. A project leader, project manager, and the senior management, they are going to benefit, and they are going to enjoy, and they are going to appreciate the content of this book. As you said, yes, this has a niche audience only in software industry, from the middle level and upwards. You are right.
When we talk about software quality assurance, I mean, that's really one of your real specialties. And what do you see that's, let's say, changed in the recent years that maybe that your books have included that may not be found someplace else?
What I have written is not from others' thinking, others' research, but I have been a practitioner. I have put practice into it. I have put the practical aspects into it. When you look at any of my books, you can implement it straight. You can use it as a process for the organization. I have given number of templates. I have given number of formats. I have given number of processes. And I have given number of techniques. For example, when you go into software estimation, the people talk about Delphi estimation and analogy-based estimation, and there is no written formal document anywhere on the web or in any other software estimation book. You find them in my book. And I have completely covered the entire subject, not just one part or two part. I have defined everything before I expanded on it. For example, software estimation, the definition of software estimation, you will not find anywhere else except in my book. And the definition of quality, the definition of quality also, the term quality also, for the first time, I have defined it comprehensively. You may say, yes, the definitions do exist. Juran has defined it as quality is fitness for use. And this has two critical terms, fitness and use. Unless we define fitness and use, this quality definition is not complete. Now, when you look at the definition, there are two people who are going to interpret this fitness and use. One, the producer himself. Second, the user himself. When the user buys an automobile, his expectation about usage is 100,000 miles, I don't have to do any repair. But is that the expectation of the automobile manufacturer about use? Maybe. We do not know. Now, the products, many products are like this. Somebody says use, fitness for use. Yes, this can be driven for 500 miles without problem. But the user may think, I need to drive this 1,000 miles without stopping. So that is one definition that has been existing. Now, the other definition of quality as by ISO. ISO defined this as a degree. It's a full degree to which the some requirements can be fulfilled. Now, and the ISO says the degree and the term quality can be associated with the other terms, adjectives like poor quality, good quality, excellent quality. Now, when you talk of quality in standalone manner, when you say General Motors Chevrolet car is a quality car, we don't use good quality car or poor quality car. When we say quality, we assume that it is a good quality car. Quality alone, when you use, it's not bad quality or anything. You don't associate any other term with quality to indicate good quality. Now, these definitions definitely are served the purpose, but we need a better definition, and the definition has to be from the provider. The provider has to define, and it should be acceptable to the user. There is no standard that says the software will fulfill this. When you deliver the software, it will be bug-free. Even this is an expectation. When you buy a software from the market, you get a CD and user manual. You expect, or every consumer expects, that it is bug-free. But is there a standard that specifies that the software must be bug-free? None. And then we are seeing day in and day out software being released with bugs. And every day patches are released to rectify the bugs.
So, can software be developed bug-free? I mean, aren't you always going to run into problems out there with different circumstances that maybe you were not aware of?
Yeah, you know, the software developers have to make it bug-free. It is implicit, not explicit, implicit. When we develop software, we have to deliver bug-free code. But we always measure, maintain a metric called defect density or delivered defect density. It's size divided by the number of defects we delivered. Now, how do we know there are defects? And if you know there are defects, why did you deliver? This is a question naturally asked. The defects are found out in the field when you end users start using the software. They get the problems, and these problems are reported. And these problems, if the software is custom developed, either in-house or by a third-party vendor, it will be fixed during the software maintenance period, warranty period. Warranty period is normally short, 3 months to 6 months, not more than that normally. And then the maintenance starts, and all the bugs that get fixed become part of maintenance. So most of the maintenance, software maintenance, is bug fixing. For example, you know, in an organization of the capability of Microsoft releases an operating system. Within 3 months, a service pack is required to fix the defects. Windows XP, unless second service pack, SP2, has been released, it was full of problems. Windows Vista service pack 1 had to be released almost immediately. If an organization which is committed to quality so much, and which has the financial capability and manpower capability, they have the best of the people in the world working for them, releases with bugs, what about the other developers sitting in either India or USA or Singapore or Ireland or Israel to be able to comprehensively remove all the bugs? The probability is not very high, right?
Is this something that someone from outside the business can really evaluate or understand how to define quality in a software market on what to purchase? I mean, how does that define from a, you know, maybe not from a consumer, but even from another IT department buying software? How can he know that he's buying a quality product?
Yeah, you have asked a very wonderful question that should have been asked by many people and many platforms. You know, when we develop software, somebody gives us an order for software development. We develop the software, and at the end of it, we conduct what is called as user acceptance testing. And during the user acceptance testing, the time is short and the software is large. The testing takes a lot of time. So therefore, the positive testing is carried out. That means we show to him that whatever he specified as requirements are all taken care of, and they are all working as they should be working. Now, actually, now when we go into the testing aspect, testing is one part of software quality assurance. There are 22 types of tests that can be carried out in addition to 4 standard tests that we carry out. The 4 standard tests that are always carried out are unit testing, integration testing, system testing, and the user acceptance testing. Unit testing is carried out for each of the units developed, each program, each screen, each report, each unit. Then second, integration testing, when these units, programs are integrated into a module or a product, we carry out the integrated testing so that the module as together is working well. It is passing control from one program to the other program or one unit to the other unit properly, and the cohesion, the coupling is properly done. System testing is carried out on various systems the product is supposed to work. For example, supposing I release a word processing package like MS Word. I test it not only on the development system that I have tested, but also on other operating systems. For example, if I developed it on Windows 2000, I have to test it on Windows 98, Windows 2000, Windows Millennium, Windows CE, Windows XP, Windows Vista, and Windows 7. And also, from 128 MB RAM to 1 GB of RAM, that it is working or not, and all these things. And on all processors, Pentium and Pentium Mobile, Pentium MMS, Pentium Dual Core Pentium, and AMD Athlon, AMD processor, all those processors also I have to check. I have to check with various types of memory that is provided on the hardware. That is system testing. User acceptance testing is to convince the user that the software is as, that the software conforms to his specifications. Now, internal testing that is carried out, not user acceptance testing, the main objective of internal testing is to uncover all the defects that may be lurking inside the software. So then there are 2 types of testing: positive testing, negative testing. Positive testing we carry out to prove it works. Negative testing we carry out to see that it fails. And in this, various types of testings are there, 22 types of testing: load testing, structural testing, parallel testing, stress testing, concurrency testing, end-to-end testing, you know, so on and so forth. So, unfortunately, the accepted fact is because so many tests are possible and each test takes time, and the time of testing is may in some cases be more than the development time, all tests and all thoroughly is not carried out. And the software industry and the customers of software in the development industry accept that 100% testing is not possible. You know, what is the quality of a product developed by outsourcing the development to some other party? You know, there is no metric to measure the quality of a product delivered by an offshore or onshore software development company. In my book, I have proposed one metric to measure the quality of a product developed by an outsourced vendor. Did I answer the question, Joe?
Yeah, I think so. I think you've got the most of it. But, you know, when I go to that, you know, that's kind of an expectation that that's all been done. And should I feel comfortable when, you know, as an IT person, that all that has already been done on the product, that I'm not the guinea pig?
You know, you can't be confident that all is done. You can't be confident that all is done. When you say inspection means an independent specialist inspector. He doesn't produce, he doesn't manufacture, he sits with vernier, caliper, screw gauge or whatever instrument that is required to carry out inspection. His job is only to do inspection. When you say testing, the testing is done by an independent tester, not by the production person himself. In software development, I regret to say that quality assurance need not be independent. Many people believe strongly and argue strongly that at unit testing stage, independent testing is not required. It can be done by the programmer who has written the program himself. Self-certification is adequate. So when the person who has written the program certifies that the program has built-in quality and it is okay, I am slightly hesitant to say the software development is having good quality and that the consumers can rest assured that all the quality assurance has been diligently carried out.
I think that's, you know, it's hard for someone to see their own mistakes. I mean, you know, from a practical standpoint, that's a very difficult process to assure quality with, is it not?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I argue at number of places and platforms and with people that testing must be by independent team. You know, one thing. The inspection also, that is the verification in software parlance, we call it walkthrough, code walkthrough. I write the program, it is to be walked through by somebody else. And that means every line of the code he will read and understand and see if it is okay or not. It is normally carried out within the same project team. That means if you and I are both developers on a team, I walk through your program and your program is walked through by somebody else whose program I may walk through within the team itself. A third party, a specialist party, hardly ever walks through the program. And integration testing may be carried out within the project team itself by the project leader.
Are you saying that it's difficult to assure quality or build in quality such as in pair programming?
Pair programming also, you know, there are two people writing the programs and these two people may be blind to the same aspect. Unless a third party inspects, can we assure quality? I will give you an extreme example. To make the concept clear, supposing a ship is built by a shipyard, will you put it out to sea unless a third party organization like Lloyd's Shipping Register or DNV comes and certifies that yes, this is seaworthy? If the same company which built the ship says yes, the ship is seaworthy, will you put that ship out to sea and sit in it? Obviously no. No ship is ever put out to sea unless outside the company, another company comes and certifies it. Will you sit in the aeroplane if the Boeing itself says my plane is having good quality? Unless a third party says, will the Federal Aviation Authority give permission to such planes or such ships? But then, how does software be allowed to get away like that? Now, these ships, these planes do have software.
Okay, so are you saying that you think that there should be an independent body that assures quality in software?
I am arguing for an independent quality assurance department within the software development organization. It may surprise you as a manufacturing man that many software development companies do not have a full-fledged quality assurance department. Let us talk of independent body later. Does the company have an independent quality assurance department? I have seen practically in quite a few organizations, they do not have a software quality assurance department. And where there is a software quality assurance department, they do not participate in the project development, but they concentrate and focus on coordinating with the certification agencies like CMMI or ISO, process quality rather than product quality. Now, total quality management says, don't do inspection, don't carry out quality assurance activities, build it into the process. It works in manufacturing because when you build it into the process and the machines are programmed that way, quality is assured. But software is completely developed by human beings. And wherever there are human beings, it is human to err. So I'm arguing, in my book, I made a strong argument that there must be a full-fledged, robust software quality assurance department in every software development organization.
So when we think of, there's a lot of talk about MVP and, in releasing early and failing often, and we hear that all in agile development and Scrum and such. But what you're saying, that you're probably not against maybe that type of development, but what you are advocating is that buffer between the customer and the developer of someone that's assuring quality before it goes there.
Exactly. You develop whatever way you want. You manufacture, whether you manufacture an ordinary low-cost manual lathe machine or you put it on a CNC lathe machine, what I'm interested is in what I get. You don't care how it is manufactured. You care what you get. So whether you do agile or whether you do waterfall or whether you do iterative or whether you do whatever, the quality assurance is common to all. Can we neglect quality assurance, testing, inspections, and all necessary activities to ensure that quality is built in because we are doing agile?
I understand you saying that, but does that go against some of the lean, the Deming quality insurance things that they advocated? And you had quoted Duran, but I mean, does it go against what they're saying, or do you think it coincides?
No, the Duran, Deming, Cosby, they made those statements against manufacturing environment, in the manufacturing environment. In the manufacturing environment, you manufacture bulk quantities. You are making 4,000 cars a day. Okay. Now each car, you test one prototype against everything. You don't have to test every car for crashing. You crash one car and rectify it and put it into the process. The process is semi-automatic are fully automatic in some cases. Now, in semi-automatic, fully automatic cases, what is the point in testing every activity? But you test, you inspect certain crucial activities. And supposing you ride, the car comes off the assembly line and they drive it for 5 miles, anything that has a problem will come out. You test it, drive it on test track, take it and put it in the showroom, but that is a 10 minute, 15 minute test. But whereas software, you use the Vista for 3 months, you may not know there is a defect. When that comes, you get the defect. And when manufacturing is there, your car you found to be defective, you take it to the showroom and say, I have a manufacturing defect, replace my car or rectify it. They will rectify it and replace. You bought a CD in the computer shop, you found a defect. Can you go back to that shop and say, this CD, this software has defect, rectify the defect and give me? Those statements are very valid. You know, when you are manufacturing 1,000 bolts, what is the fun in testing every bolt? And it is going on an automatic, semi-automatic machine. You test one and it comes out all right. Manufacturing is like cooking food. You don't have to test every particle of the grain, whether it is cooked or not. You test one and you know whether everything is cooked or not. Software is not like that. Software is made of a discrete set of statements, some 10,000 lines, 15,000 lines. So by testing one line, can we be assured that all other lines are good?
Probably not.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Software needs a different paradigm. Software quality assurance needs a different paradigm. You know, in manufacturing, the drawings, the bill of materials, the process plan. Now, we are talking of mass manufacturing, but let us take a ship or an aeroplane. Now, what is the time spent in designing the aeroplane and writing the process plans, preparing the drawings, and selecting material, etc., and actual manufacture? The design, process planning, production engineering, methods, tooling, this may take equal time or more time than manufacturing itself. I told you I worked in a manufacturing environment. My company was making control panels, control systems for atomic reactors. Now, each reactor is different. Each panel is different. Each desk is different. From one atomic plant to another atomic plant, and one panel to the other panel. Everything has to be engineered. And we had equal number of people in production shops and design and engineering. And sometimes the design and engineering took more time, process planning, production engineering, tooling, than actual manufacturing itself. In a project environment, software is always projects. There is no mass production. Writing the same line 100 times, it never happens. You write 100 lines one time. So manufacturing paradigms really do not work here. We need to have, and the standards, when you say threading, BA threading, BS threading, UNC threading, metric threading, those standards do have diagrams, they have depth, they have everything that is there is required. When you say automobile shaft for driving the wheels, how much it should be forged, how to heat treat it, and what should be the strength, everything is there. So once you set the heat treatment process, you test one prototype and see for that, and then all others go through the same process. The whole heat treatment process is automated to remove the stresses that have built in because of the forging of the shaft. Now that is not there. The mass manufacture is not there. So it is. It takes time in design and manufacturing and standardization. Well, software industry is 60 years old and manufacturing industry is about 150, 200 years old. Perhaps that is one thing, but By 60 years, the manufacturing industry started having standards bodies. The manufacturers have come together and formed associations. When the consumer safety has been affected, the governments have stepped in and formed their own standards bodies and released standards, insisting that, yes, your product must be adhering and conforming to this standard. Electrical product, every electrical product has a standard. It should have 1 megaohm of resistance so that it doesn't give shock to the consumer. This kind of industry associations have not been there. IEEE has done very good amount of work, but those standards still fall short of the granularity of the standards of manufacturing or construction. Now in construction, you have a society, CSI, Construction Specifications Institute. Everyone who is constructing follows those specifications. And NC is there, NEMA is there, electrical industry, anybody manufacturing anything electrical will go to NEMA standards and do it. Those associations have formed. In software development industry, I do not see any software development industry association. Okay, SPINs are there, Software Process Improvement Networks. These are voluntary association of individuals interested in process improvement. Software Project Managers Network, SPMN. These are again association of voluntary individuals, software project managers who would like to share their knowledge and improve each other. None of these have released any standards. So software development industry needs to tighten its belts in software quality. Here I want to quote one figure that was available. Back in 1991, there was Lotus Development Corporation, which was later on acquired by IBM. When they had a flagship product called Lotus 123, which is spreadsheet database and data combined package like MS Excel today, and they released version 3, release 3 from release 2. At the time they released the figures in the journals, they spent $7 million developing the product and $8 million doing quality assurance, and Lotus 123 did really work. Now such figures are not available to quote from recent times, but that is the amount of quality assurance in any project environment. In ship manufacturing, every welding that is carried out is tested for seepage of water, air leaks, any bubbles. No, they conduct a very rigorous welding test on ships. They conduct very rigorous test on each of the bolt tightened, they will try with a screwdriver. So that kind of inspection and quality assurance discipline have not come in software development industry. And that is what I addressed in my book. I was trying to wake up software development industry, wake up, tighten your belts, otherwise someday something is going to happen. You know, one thing I had mentioned certain disasters also in my book, landed at a speed of 170 knots, 195 miles per hour. That is 20 knots or 23 miles hour faster than the standard speed. The pilot had to steer the plane off the runway as it was reaching the end. The left wing hit an embankment and a fire broke out, spreading to the passenger compartment. As a result, the co-pilot and one passenger died. One of the reasons was software. Gulf War 1991-92, somewhere like that, the original Desert Storm. Patriot missiles in Gulf War's Operation Desert Storm caused an accident. The battery from which the missiles were fired was in operation for 100 hours, during which time the system's internal clock drifted by one third of a second. This resulted in a Patriot missile missing the Scud missile, which landed and it missed by 600 meters. Because of this, a Scud missile was not intercepted and hit the US Army barracks, killing 28 soldiers. In 1999, the mission to launch the polar lander to the Mars failed, as the software identified vibrations in the vehicle's legs during touchdown and shut off the engines 40 meters, about 135 feet from the surface. As a result, the polar lander was lost. And Y2K problem is well known. I don't have to refer to it. And you know, this Unix, Linux software computers, there is a 2038 problem waiting to happen. And 2038, the clock will be reset, and everything will be treated as 20th century. So thus, there are software problems. And unless the software industry wakes up, I think the disasters are going to happen. In the meanwhile, what the software industry, especially in products, is doing is release a new version, latest version, before somebody asks, fix these defects. Now, Microsoft releases Visual Basic. Visual Basic was released from 1994, and in 1996 or so, Basic versions 4 was there. In 2000 or 2001, 6 has come. 2003, .NET has come. 2005, another version of .NET has come. 2008, another version of .NET has come. In 2010, another version of .NET has come. How many days does it take to master a language as large as Visual Basic? It takes more than 2 years. By the time you master, a new version is coming. So before you find out all the defects, all the bugs, a new version is released as better, more productive, more stronger, more robust, more bug-free, more this, more that.
I think that's where I struggle with is the software. Once I start making it productive for me, there seems to be a new version that I'm constantly barraged with, I need to upgrade, or it's going to be incompatible, or this version and stuff. And it seems like I never get to master what I'm attempting, because it's not like I'm on it 24/7. Okay. I only use it a few hours a week. So it takes me a certain amount of time to master.
We are from software development industry. We don't master before a new version is released. So how can we expect ordinary people to master that? In construction and manufacturing has not been internalized in software. Suppose if Toyota steering had one trouble, steering, and in some cases, not all cases, the amount of bad publicity Toyota had was enormous. It's only steering, and only in certain cases, at certain speeds, it has misbehaved, and it has called back all the cars and repaired it. Now, the same amount of Windows Vista also received bad publicity. How many Windows Vista customers were given a free, new, improved CD? Patches were given, you download and install them, and it will work well. Now, this is a product. I'm talking of a consumer product. Windows is a consumer product. But what about the software developed for custom customers? I witnessed one incident. I was not party, I was not in the development team. A stock exchange has computerized its operations. Before that, they were doing manual trading, and they wanted to do it through computer trading. And the first order they placed was a sell order, and the computer has bought the stock.
When we go back to this, and as you're talking about that, the thing that comes to my mind is that, you know, you go to the new versions, and then you get the next new version, and all of a sudden, nobody's supporting the older version. You have to update, or you have to change.
That is another malady of software companies. And the new version takes more space, more RAM, needs more hardware resources, giving almost the same functionality or a little more functionality. Now, Windows has the problem of viruses. And this viruses problem had been there for the last 15 years. In these 15 years, at least 5 new versions of operating system have come. Why was this not tackled by now? I'm sure Microsoft has the best brains. They can brainstorm, they can come out with the ideas, they know much better than I know, or you know, or anybody knows. They have a collective wisdom And I respect Bill Gates. He's a great man. Great man. He has been my hero. Why are they not doing it? Why are we still required to buy from other antivirus vendors? Why can't they make the operating system impenetrable by these kind of viruses? Programs, worms, I understand, if I put a floppy, but if I put a floppy and do not copy, how can it automatically be allowed to copy? If I am not doing something, how can it, if I connect to the internet, viruses just fly in. You connect without any antivirus software for 10 minutes, your computer is hacked by some virus. Without we doing anything, how can programs come and occupy our disk? So yep. We need to do something about software quality. In fact, I have written one chapter in my book on environment conducive to producing software quality. Quality software. Environment conducive to producing quality software. Do we have that environment? I can tell you with confidence, Joe, that majority of the software development organizations do not have a specialized software testing team. I'm not talking of quality assurance totally. I'm just talking of testing team. A quality assurance department champions quality and takes ownership of quality by verifications, inspections, and writing processes and standards which will eliminate the defect.
Is there something you'd like to add in this podcast that I haven't asked you?
On software quality assurance and the certification models, you know, there are CMMI and ISO certification models are there. Many organizations take these certifications as a proof of their commitment to quality. Comprehensively about the shortages or drawbacks in those models and suggested a new model. My new model I suggested is based on the financial assurance. Every public limited company has to get its accounts audited by an external body 5 times a year for 4 quarters and annual accounts. This is mandatory, otherwise they will not accept. And the charges are not low, minimum $70 they charge per auditor. And higher managers, etc., are charged at $200, $300, and they do for minimum of 2 to 4 weeks per quarter, and a minimum of 1 to 1.5 months at the annual report. They assure that funds are used properly. And you know one thing, the first thing the external auditor ensures is that there is an internal auditor in the organization, and that internal auditor has been performing diligently. Now, neither the CMMI nor the ISO ensure that there is an internal quality control manager and that he has been performing diligently. So we need to have a new paradigm for assuring the quality of the products that come out of software, and it should be based on the financial assurance methodologies of companies, listed companies or public limited incorporated companies which have raised funds from the public. Without doing that, the public cannot ensure the quality of the software. But the quality assurance organizations can voluntarily adopt good quality assurance practices from learning from construction industry and manufacturing industry, implement them and improve them. Automobile industry would not have improved but for Ralph Nader, who took on automobile industry and made a hue and cry whenever there is something notable defect was uncovered. We need a Ralph Nader for software development industry.
How can someone get a hold of you?
Me, you know, you search on my name, Murali Chemuturi, on the web. you will see 30 pages. And I have my website, Murali, my website is chemuturi.com, in which my phone number and mail ID are there. But right now I will give the phone number and mail ID. My mail ID is simple, murali@chemuturi.com. That is murali at the rate of chemuturi.com. And my phone number for USA is 347-394-3138. And my website, chemuturi.com. I'll be glad to answer any mail, any email I receive within 24 hours normally, unless I am out of town or something like that.
All right. Well, I would like to thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you for having me and allowing me to express my opinions freely and frankly. Thank you very much.